pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be with us. Anoint my lips to faithfully proclaim your holy word. For this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to take you a trip down memory lane in my life. You don't know about it, but I'm going to tell you about it. The year was 1986. I was about to graduate from Bryan College in May of 1986. Bryan College is located in Dayton, Tennessee, a small town in southeast Tennessee, about 40 miles north of Chattanooga. About a month before I graduated, the president of Bryan College, Ted Mercer, at the age of 66, died suddenly of a heart attack. Ted Mercer had been the president of Bryan College from 1956 to his death in 1986. In 1986, he planned for that to be his final commencement service and planned to announce his retirement. And so the news of his death was very shocking to the college community. Dr. Mercer's funeral service was on a Sunday afternoon in the college's chapel. I distinctly remember walking from my dorm, which was at the top of the hill, to the chapel, which was at the bottom of the hill. A friend and I were walking along and chatting, and often is the case with me, whatever my friend and I were talking about, he struck a funny bone with me, and I was engaged in uproarious laughter, which shouldn't surprise you. Another friend of mine who was close by when he heard me laugh and cautioned me that since we were about to go to a funeral service that I should be more sober and calm. In a split second, I had to decide how I would react to my friend's rebuke. I could have taken offense at his comment, but instead I said, okay. And in modern lingo, I chilled out. In our New Testament reading from Hebrews 12, we hear the writer giving this warning: do not take lightly the Lord's discipline. Lightly. I, perhaps, in the view of my friend, was taking a funeral service too lightly. Sober up. And so my question I ask for us this morning: why should we endure the discipline? Well, first of all, my first point is that our discipline has its source, God's plan. Hebrews 12, 4 and 5 says this: for you have not resisted yet to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. When you hear the phrase, do not regard this lightly, we're being urged, encouraged, warned that this is a serious, heavy matter. So treat it as a serious matter. It's not something to laugh about. This is sober. In our language, we use the phrase, wake up and fly right. It's sobering to recognize that bad things, evil, and sin are a part of our human existence, and we can't get away from that. You know, you can say, well, just will not to ever sin again. Good luck with that one. And yet, in spite of that, God is in charge of all things, and as part of his plan, he has allowed for the existence of evil. And so we live with this mystery. The writer says, you have not resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. I believe this is tipping the hands to the condition these people were under at this time in history. He's really saying to them, at this point in time, you have not yet suffered martyrdom. Earlier in this book, there is a statement by the author that they were being persecuted by their faith and imprisoned. In Hebrews 10:34, it says, "For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one." So if you take Hebrews 10:34 with 12:4, we see that these Christians are going through the beginning stages of persecution, but they had not yet seen fellow believers executed for their faith. The early church called believers who were imprisoned for their faith confessors, while believers who were put to death were called martyrs. So they're confessors, but they're not yet martyrs. And these believers are undergoing trials and discipline, but they had not yet faced martyrdom. It is within this context that the author speaks of the Lord's discipline. In the midst of persecution of Christian believers for their faith in the Lord, it is hard to swallow that Christians, both past and present, undergo persecution for their faith in the Lord, and God has a purpose in that, in allowing Christians to suffer injustice because of our Christian faith. Because we are weak and frail, not just physically, but spiritually, we are strongly urged not to faint when we go through persecution, which God has ordained as part of His will. No one looks forward to suffering, but God has a plan to teach us and educate us through suffering. When we recognize that our lives are in God's hands, including those injustices that we are called upon to endure, we must entrust ourselves to God and plead for His mercy as we might be strong in our faith through suffering. That means that we have to suffer, and what we have to suffer is part of God's plan. And while there are mysteries of why God allows suffering and difficulty, God is in control of all things, so that there is nothing that happens to you and me that takes God by surprise or which is not included as part of God's plans. So don't take lightly the discipline of the Lord. Not only is our suffering and difficulties part of God's plan, but my second point, God disciplines us for our good. Hebrews 12:6 says this, "For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives." The writer in Hebrews 12:5-6 is quoting from Proverbs chapter 3, 10 and 11. The writer is making the point that the Old Testament is the Word of God as well as the New Testament, and thus we should heed God's message. The Word of God is relevant and applicable to every generation precisely because it's God's Word which is eternally true. The reality of this father-son relationship between God and Christian believers is the basis upon which we can and must trust God because He knows what He is doing. Our discipline and sufferings are proof that God loves us. Let me say that again. Our sufferings and discipline are proof that God loves us. Apart from the scriptures, we would totally miss this important truth. We must be renewed in our thought process as we go through this, because naturally, our own thinking when we go through hard times is just the opposite, that somehow God has abandoned us. And yet this scripture is saying it's proof that God loves you. So we got to stop thinking like natural people we are in Adam and start thinking the way Scripture teaches us to think. Discipline is a proof of God's love. Philip Hughes says this in his commentary on this verse. The hostility of ungodly men is always difficult to endure, but it is overruled and turned to our advantage by God, and it should be accepted from the hand of the Heavenly Father, intended for the correction and benefit of those whom he receives as sons. End of quote. As the author goes on in Hebrews 12:7, he speaks about our earthly fathers and our heavenly fathers in these words. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. Now there is a contrast between the discipline of our earthly fathers and the discipline of our heavenly Father. Our earthly fathers disciplined us as they saw fit, and we respected them. How much more should we submit to our heavenly Father, who is without fault or defect? Let's face it, fathers, there's not a one of us that's perfect in the way we raise children. Sometimes we're too lenient, and sometimes we're too heavy-handed. I can remember as a child, one Sunday afternoon, my father was giving me a lesson on how to properly hang up my pants so I didn't crease and wrinkle them. And I kept on objecting to this and that. And finally he said, "Now, do you get it? Was that so difficult?" Sometimes we're too light, sometimes too heavy-handed. Guess what? Leroy Benner was not only that way. Cedric R. Benner is the same way. Sometimes too light, sometimes too heavy. Every once in a while, somewhere in between. If we respected our heavenly fathers who have faults, how much more ought we respect our heavenly Father who has no faults? He always does it right. And since the sufferings we're going through right now are for our discipline, let's receive them gratefully and learn from them, because there's no mistakes in God's plan. We might think there is from time to time, especially when we're enduring difficulties. And so let us remember, God disciplines us for our good. He disciplines for our good, and as Hebrews 12:10 says, he disciplines for our good that we might share in holiness, his holiness. The good that God disciplines us for is our growth in holiness. Undergoing hardship and discipline is challenging, and it is always painful and bewildering, not pleasant. But enduring the trial and standing the test of disciplinary affliction is precisely the training which our author is speaking of here. The author exhorts the recipients of this letter to willingly endure all varieties of trials and difficulties and fix our gaze on Jesus Christ, who is the object of our faith and love. Hebrews 12:11 says this, "All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." Hebrews 12:11 says that those who are trained in the school of discipline, that afterwards it yields the fruit of righteousness. But that's the challenge that the writer sets before us. Will we be trained by it or not? The writer is using the picture of an athlete who is running a race. In order to get prepared for a long-distance race, he has to consistently be running every day long distances on a daily basis, so his body is used to the rigor of a lengthy race. The only way to get the body ready is to consistently run, 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 and run some more. Even before and after he runs, he has to do stretching so he doesn't pull a muscle. The author is returning to this imagery of the athlete to bring home the point that we need to submit to and yield to the training that God is giving us in this school of discipline. And sometimes we view discipline in too negative of a term, like we're being punished. Don't think of it that way. Sometimes God's discipline to people who are faithfully receiving it is, keep up the good work. But if you're not, listen to this voice of instruction. Yield to, be trained by God's discipline so that you might yield the peaceful fruit of righteousness. The ultimate goal that God has for us is that we might trust in God and grow in holiness. And this is a very important truth that we have to hang on to, and that's this. The ultimate goal that God has in mind is for you and I to be holy, not necessarily happy. Hear that, Americans of the 21st century. This is not about our happiness, it is about our holiness. We're addicted to happiness. We want everything to be happy. And while happiness is okay, it's not the ultimate goal of all things. Holiness is. It's important to keep in mind the ultimate goal of holiness, especially as we undergo suffering. We can hear of God's ultimate goal of holiness, but because we live at this time, in which since World War II, we have known unknown levels of prosperity, at least from a material viewpoint. And we have to tell ourselves that God is not about happiness. It's about holiness, being dedicated to do God's will, even when it's difficult and it's downright discouraging. Continue to persevere in your trust and faith in God and in your service to him. This passage challenges us to pursue the pathway of holiness. When we undergo discipline, it is especially important to have this right mindset, that we are going through this ordeal not for our happiness, but for our holiness. May God renew our minds and our hearts to receive, to be trained in God's discipline, that we might grow in holiness. May God give us strength and his mercy. Let us pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, strengthen in us the gifts of hope and perseverance. Help us to strive with the might of the Holy Spirit to seek your face, to fight against sin, and to train ourselves in the paths of righteousness. We dedicate ourselves to your service, O Lord. These things we beg in the holy name of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son and our Lord and Savior. Amen.